Good morning. It's good to see all the cars here. Can't see your faces. We're going to be in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Trying to see everybody. Okay. The first part, Jesus is talking about a few things, and he's dealing also with the Pharisees. They're there. And in verse 13, he ends what he's speaking about, and he says, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." You know, Christianity is an amazing thing. Christianity is something great. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Christianity is when Christ actually becomes part of your life, and he comes into your heart. And what he does is he transforms your life completely. This is Christianity. Christianity isn't just some add-on to your social life. It's an actual transformation of your life. It's where Christ takes a hold of your heart and transforms you completely. The Bible says, Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians, he says that you become a new creation. You're a new creature. All old things have passed away. Everything has become new. It's a new thing. This is Christianity. When Jesus Christ takes a hold of your heart and he changes you, he transforms you. And Christianity really is a great thing. It's a complete transformation of your life. And what happens is you're transformed by Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you live no longer for yourself, but you live for him. And things like this, when you read through the Gospels, you read the words that Jesus speaks, it's just amazing because your life gets transformed. And right here, Jesus says something that's very interesting. He says that there are certain things that men esteem. Men esteem these things. They esteem them very highly. But it says it is an abomination in the sight of God. God just, he says the things that men esteem highly to God, they're not very important. God doesn't esteem them that high. He says they're an abomination to God. Things that men esteem can be something that God hates. Now, that's very interesting. But Jesus here is talking about something pretty specific. He's talking about wealth. He's talking about riches. And that just simply is the way our life is. I mean, it's just something that's very common to us. Riches and wealth is something that we as men esteem a lot. We esteem wealth. When we're around somebody that's wealthy, it's just something that creeps up into us. Men esteem wealth. And it's just, that's the way life is for us. It's normal. But with Christ, he comes along and he says, these things that men esteem, wealth and riches, that's something that God isn't impressed with. That's not something that God is amazed at. While we are so focused on it, God is just not that impressed by it. And that's one of the things he's talking about here. And it's not that hard to see. Jesus lived like this. He showed this. He showed how wealth isn't that impressive to him. In fact, whenever there was people, Jesus was watching as they were casting their money into the offerings. They were casting their money, and it says a lot of rich men were casting in a lot of money. These wealthy people were casting in much. And Jesus says that wasn't impressive to him. It wasn't impressive to him as much as this one lady that had only two mites left. And she cast in those two mites. And Jesus said this. He said that he was impressed with her for all those rich men cast in out of their abundance. But she, out of her want, did cast in all that she had, all her living. You know, that's what impressed Jesus. He wasn't impressed by all these wealthy men that were able to give a lot of money. He was impressed by this one woman who gave all that she had, even though it was very little. That's just something that isn't automatically something that we would agree with. As men, that's not something we would esteem. If we're looking at the offering box, we're not surprised. We're not esteeming those that put in very little. We're not esteeming those. We esteem the people that are rich and that have a lot of money to be able to give. Or how about the decision making there? This woman put in the last two mites that she had. Would we esteem her as wise? Would we esteem what she did as something very smart to do with money? No, I don't think so. If we were looking at that situation, we would probably be thinking, wow, that was not that smart of a decision. But you see, Jesus says he esteems things differently than men. He esteems things in a different way. In fact, speaking about riches, he talks about in Revelation, Jesus says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You know, whenever we are full of riches, we're full of wealth, we think we don't need anything, but God looks at us and he says, don't you know? What does he say? He says, you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. You see, we see things differently than God. That's just how it is. We have a different sight than God. He sees things in a different light than we do. And certain things that we esteem are just simply an abomination to God. And that's what Jesus says right here in verse 15 of Luke chapter 16. And I was thinking about this. You know, there are certain things that we as men esteem that God just doesn't put that much importance on. And we need to mold our life by what God esteems, not by what man esteems. That's what we should make the focus of our life. What does God esteem? What does God counsel us to esteem? That should be what we're looking for. And so I found a few examples of what we should esteem, what would be good for us to esteem. And I want to mention these things that we should esteem. First of all, we should esteem God's word. Job chapter 23 verse 12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now that's interesting. This is not a normal, humanly decision to make. Human decision wouldn't be automatically, hey, let's esteem the words in the book more than the food that we need to eat. That's just not a normal thing you would find anywhere around. And it's not a normal thing. It's actually not normal to find people that are very, very interested in the Word of God. So much so that they esteem it more than the food that they eat. But you know, Job says, that's what I did. I esteemed God's Word. I esteemed the words that were from His lips, that were from His mouth. His words were more precious to me than the food that I needed to eat. And you know, this is, I think, something that we should esteem. This is something that we should take and take it as such, so precious that we shouldn't let it go. Job says those words were esteemed more than his necessary food. And you know, it's just funny because that's not automatic to us. I mean, we like food, don't we? We like food a lot, and you can tell just by looking around, right? We're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger because we like food. And it's hard not to like food. But he says we should love the Word of God more than our necessary food. Now, I was thinking about this, and why would it be so important, and why would it be so important for a Christian to just think the Word of God is so precious? And the reason is because we, as Christians, have transformed our lives, and the reason that is, what that looks like, is that we no longer live to ourselves. That's what the Bible says. We don't live to ourselves, but we live unto Him who have died for us and rose again from the dead. That's who we live for. Well, how does that manifest itself? How does it manifest that we live for Christ? How can you know if you're living for Christ or if you're living for yourself? Well, there's not like a formula, or there's not a few things that I can give you that can say, okay, well, if you do this, that means you're living for Christ. If you do this, that means you're not living for Christ. I mean, it's not just that simple. The truth is that the way you're going to tell if you're living for Christ is if you let what He says change you. That's the way to know if Christ is the one you're living for. If you're living for what you like, for what you desire, for what you want, then it's an automatic tell that you are living for yourself. But if you allow Him to speak to you and to change you, then you can say, I'm living for Him. And that's why the Word of God should be so interesting to us, should be so desired to us, because it's very important to know what He wants from us. It's important to know what He likes, how He thinks, what He measures things by, so that we can conform our life to what He says. That's the importance of knowing the Word of God, studying the Word of God, loving the Word of God, because we want to be transformed by His Word. Sorry, I might be speaking a little too loud in my voice. I'm trying to reach y'all. That way I forget about the microphone. So this is how we know we're living for Christ, is if we allow His Word to change us. And this is why His Word should be so precious to us that we should be able to even say we esteem His Word above the food that we eat. Now, I don't know if you can say that. I don't even know if I can say that. But boy, this should be one of those things that we aspire to get to. We should aspire to be able to say the Word of God is what I seek daily. It's what I love. It's what I long for. It's what I want. I want to know Him better, so that I can be changed and transformed by what He says. That should be our goal. That should be something that we aspire to. And Job isn't the only one that said it. In fact, Jesus Christ, He even says it. Whenever He was tempted, He answered, remember, and He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What do you think is very important? What do you think is more important? The food that you eat or the Word of God that you can read? Now, natural man would say that it's the food that we eat. That's the most important thing. That's what we need. That is most necessary. But Jesus says, hey, you're forgetting something very important. You're forgetting the Word of God. You need to esteem His Word. And so there's something that many times to man, it's something that they don't esteem. It's something that to man, it's not very valuable, not very interesting. But to God, it's of high esteem, and that's His Word. God's Word should be very important to us. Other things that men might look down upon, and yet we're taught that we should esteem highly, is not only God's Word, but God's men, God's ministers, those who serve Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13 says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. He says you need to esteem those servants of the Lord, those that are working and laboring among you in Christ's word, in the church, that are doing work for God. He says you should esteem them very highly. And you know, that's just something that normally you don't see much of. You don't see much, especially, and we're talking about people that aren't born again, people that don't believe in Christ, people that are simply, you could call, earthly, focused on this world. They don't esteem God's ministers. They don't esteem God's word, and they don't esteem those that have changed their life to follow God's word. And yet, here, the apostle says, we should esteem them very highly. It's amazing how we can get to esteem a whole lot of people and not the people that we should be esteeming. You know, we can esteem the wrong people. We esteem a lot of different people, and it's not necessarily that what these people are is wrong. It's just simply they are not that exceptional. And yet, those that follow God at His word and labor for God, those people are exceptional. They are worth esteeming. They are worth following. It's easy to esteem the wrong people, and we all see it. There's actors that give their opinion, and their opinion is elevated and very high. And you know, the truth is, I like actors. I like good actors. I really don't like bad actors. If I go to a movie and it's bad acting, boy, it even hurts me. I like good actors. But they're not somebody that we should think of as those that we esteem so high. Because they're just not that impressive. Acting isn't the greatest thing in the world. But following God at His word and working for Him, that is something that we should esteem. Now, as we follow those that and esteem those that are following God and working for God, laboring for God, even then, it's hard to know which ones are who we should esteem. Because even Paul sees that there's problems here. Paul sees that, you know, one day we're going to have itching ears and we're going to go away from the sound doctrine. We're going to go away from those that are teaching right and righteousness, and we're going to go away from that, and we're going to heap up teachers that are teaching what we want to hear, not what the Word of God teaches. So, let me read something from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. He says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." You see, the Corinthian church had a problem where they were esteeming these men that came in after Paul, and what they were esteeming of them was their appearance. Paul didn't have an appearance of a mighty man. He didn't come with appearance of wise words, of man's wisdom. He didn't have all that. He didn't have all this appearance of really religiosity. However you say that. Religiosity. He didn't have that appearance. And yet, whenever men came in with an appearance of exceptional glory and an appearance of amazement, they flocked to them and they esteemed those men. And Paul, all throughout Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he's telling them, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing walking after the appearance? And he's telling them, you shouldn't go by sight. You should go by faith. You should see what's really important. Don't esteem what you can see on the outward. Don't esteem these outward things. He says in verse 3 of chapter 11 in 2 Corinthians, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul's saying, look, I labored among you. I gave you the gospel. I came in simplicity teaching you Jesus Christ, Christ dying on the cross, Christ paying for your sins, Christ having rose from the dead. And yet, as soon as I leave, these people come in and they teach you something different. They have an appearance, a little better appearance, something more nicely, something more presentative. And then they're teaching things that you can see, right? The Jews' religion, this religion that they're teaching had a whole lot of appearance, had a whole lot to offer with appearance. And when they came in bringing that, he says, what did y'all do? Y'all were bearing with them. Y'all ride around. Y'all ran with them. What's going on? Why aren't y'all taking and esteeming the right people? And that is, those that teach, those that admonish, those that speak should speak according to the oracles of God. And those are the ones we should be esteeming. We should esteem men that have worked and that are laboring for the Lord. So we should esteem God's word. We should esteem God's men. Yet there's another one that's very interesting. And that is, we should esteem God's reproach. How about that? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. This is an interesting one. Because again, what we're saying is, look, there's things that men hold and they look at it. And this is what men are going after. This is what men look for. But God thinks other things are more important. And this is what happens here in Hebrews 11, verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That's very interesting. He chose rather to choose affliction than the pleasure of sin. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? If you had to choose between affliction or pleasure, what would you choose? Well, that's a no-brainer, right? Pleasure. I mean, come on. That's what we're seeking. That's what we want. We want to be comfortable. We want pleasure. Yet, Christ is teaching, and the Bible teaches, the examples we have of men of faith is that they esteem something that normal men wouldn't esteem. They esteem something that normal men would count as something bad or wrong, or they would be fleeing from. All this, again, is according to the word. They esteemed what God had for them instead of what the world could offer them. Choosing affliction rather than enjoying the pleasures. Because he esteemed the reproach of Christ. He esteemed the affliction, the esteemed whatever else comes with Christ, that maybe people can make fun of, maybe you look crazy, maybe you look weird, maybe it disrupts your life, maybe when you give your life to Christ, there's going to be consequences, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be problems. And listen, the New Testament is full of that. Read Peter's letters. It's full of suffering and problems that Christians go through because they trust in Christ and they live for Christ. And yet, that's what happens when you are actually living for Christ. You're not concerned with these afflictions. You're not concerned with the reproach of Christ. You'd rather suffer that than live in the pleasures that this world and the sin that it offers can give you. It says he chose affliction. And you know, I just wonder when the time comes and we have to choose between comfort or Christ, what are we going to choose? I mean, right now, maybe we don't have to make that choice much. There's not a lot in our life that actually puts that choice in front of us. Sometimes it does, maybe, but I mean, in general, it's not that apparent. But what if the time does come? What if the day comes where you're gonna have to choose? You're gonna have to choose to suffer with the people of God, or you're gonna have to choose to live in the pleasures that the world offers you. Well, if you're wanting to take the example of faith that we have of the men in the Bible, then we're gonna choose the suffering of God. Because that is something that is worth esteeming more than what men hold dear, than what men hold as very important. These are just some of the things that the Bible really teaches us to esteem. Remember again, God's thoughts are different than man's thoughts. He says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts, his mind, his vision, what he does, what he thinks, how he thinks is just different than how men think. And what we do is we want to know what Christ thinks. We want to know what Christ esteems, and that's what we want to seek. That's what we want to live after. That's what we want to go after, because Christ and his way of thinking is what we're interested in. That is the transforming, renewing power that Christ brings to our life. This is why we search out Christ's mind. We want to have Christ's mind in us. We don't want to have our mind anymore. We're willing to put ourselves aside, put our thoughts aside, and our mind aside to follow Christ's mind. And that's why the Word of God is so important. That's why hearing and following those that have worked and labored for Christ is important. And that's why recognizing the reproach of Christ and willing to go through the afflictions with Christ's people is very important for us, because we want to follow Christ. And that's what we are, followers of Christ. This is just something that I thought was very interesting, that some things that are highly esteemed among men aren't highly esteemed among God. And those things that are highly esteemed among God are the things that we should be looking for. Those are the important ones. So I hope this blesses you. We're gonna take a little break, and then we'll be back with the second half.